Chase, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. And I got to tell you that I feel like we got a little Ray Lewis today.
Uh-oh.
There's a little, like, you and I have gotten, I mean, we've been passionate today. Uh-huh. Willie's getting passionate now. The callers are getting passionate. There's a little PO'd for greatness going on.
P'd you know, for greatness.
You know, I like it. I like it.
Can't help but like it. So, Willie, we got into this conversation about Mike Vrabel. And you heard bits of it yesterday. Maybe he has reached his ceiling. And we got a lot of calls on that yesterday. We got a lot of texts on that yesterday. We picked it up today. And the phones and the text lines have been blowing up. But I want to ask you, Willie. We look at this team and we look at what Vrabel and John has done. Now John is no longer a part of this team. But Vrabel and John, what they have done since both of these guys have been joined to the hips. They have, you know, put together a roster. They have made the playoffs. They went to one AFC championship game. But since that game, this team has continued to backpedal. And I want to know with you, because we talk about this. Quarterbacks and head coaches, I think, are in a different category of their own. They're not like every other player from this standpoint. When you talk about greatness, I go back to Andy Reid. Andy Reid, and Tim brought it up. If Andy Reid doesn't win that Super Bowl, I still think he's a great coach and a great play caller. But from a national standpoint, he will not be put in a category with, you know, Bill Belichick or some of these other coaches that have won that are really good.
He's a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah.
Now.
But now he's a Hall of Fame coach.
He already was. But.
He was, but there still would have been some, maybe he's not. He's never won a Super Bowl. He only took his team to one Super Bowl.
Here's the thing with Andy Reid. Andy Reid had the stigma of great coach, couldn't win the big one.
Yeah.
That was him.
Exactly.
You know, and now he doesn't have that anymore.
But he was never put in that tier of great coaches that won a Super Bowl. He was always, right. Yeah, he's a great coach, but he hadn't proven it in the playoffs. That led me to think, Mike Vrabel. I believe Mike Vrabel is a really good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. Why? Because great coaches separate themselves in the playoffs, just like great quarterbacks separate themselves in the playoffs. Tom Brady is great, not necessarily because of what he did in the regular season. It's because of what he was able to do during the playoffs. Bill Belichick ain't necessarily great because of what he did in the regular season. It's because of what he was able to get his team to do in the playoffs. Seven Super Bowls mean a lot. Vrabel has done a wonderful job during the regular season. But in the playoffs, he has not been good. That's just – those are facts that I'm looking at.
Well, he's had one very good run, and he's had two – first game exits.
Exactly.
Right?
And
so that's what it is. We're only talking about three seasons.
More importantly, but
am I right? Am I missing one? Since Vrabel's been the coach.
He's, what, 2017?
He's never had a losing season.
He's never had a losing season.
I'm talking about the playoffs.
They missed his first year in 2018, and that's it.
19, 21, 22. So it'd be
going on four. Three times.
Yep.
He's had one excellent run, 2019, and then they've lost as the division winners with a home playoff game 2 years in a row.
But we consider,
so that's three seasons.
But when we,
so we're talking about Andy Reid, we're talking about
a bunch
eight,
of seasons.
Nine, 10 years. I mean, how long is he in Philadelphia?
But even with Andy, it was always, can Andy win the big games?
Yeah, but that was over a long period.
But he
of time.
Couldn't do it.
No,
that's why Philly was like, we got to part ways.
They made the Super Bowl once.
Yes, did win.
How many times did they make the NFC Championship game?
I feel like
they made it a few times. Yeah, they made
Andy
it a few
Reid,
times.
Five.
Yeah. Five NFC Championship games.
Yeah, and he went to the Super Bowl once.
So, okay, so we have to decide.
But to me, getting to a championship game is pretty damn good.
That's pretty good,
yeah.
Right? So,
but how many coaches have gotten to the AFC or the NFC
Championship
game?
I guess what I'm getting at with Vrabel is okay, we need to see. I think he's an excellent coach, but he's a fairly young coach compared to some of the guys we're talking about. Another one that popped into my head, and you'll agree with me, Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
For all those years in the generation before, really good teams in Cleveland, really good teams with the Chargers.
Denver.
Never could win.
But
right?
We don't consider him, when we say great coaches.
No, because he never had
exactly.
the one breakthrough season.
Absolutely.
Sometimes that one breakthrough season changes your whole perception.
I.e. Andy Reid.
Yes, totally. Totally. Bobby Cox is another guy. Like, the Braves won it the one time. Thank goodness for Bobby Cox, because they had the best team for a long, long time in Atlanta. And they had a lot of playoff exits. Mm-hmm. But they did win it once, which separates them from, remember the Dan Reeves, John Elway Broncos, before John Elway got two rings, he had that tag, right? Oh, man, didn't get it done in the big games. Dan Reeves lost how many Super Bowls? He lost one with the Falcons, so he was 0-4, I think, in Super Bowls. So you just, then there's the classic example,
Buffalo.
The Bills, right?
4 in a row.
It's an incredible achievement. But they never, if they just won it once, they'd be considered with the greatest teams of all time in a lot of ways. But when they go 0-4, there's this, So I guess what I'm saying is I want to see it cycle. The key in this league is you ride the waves with the salary cap. Everything is designed for you to finish 9-8 or 8-9. It's a parity-driven league. So it's hard to have the loaded team every year for 10 years, unless you've got the amazing quarterback. He's never had that. He's never had that quarterback.
Who was that?
Vrabel. He's never had the quarterback that can carry
He's never
you.
Had the quarterback that can carry you.
Doug Peterson didn't.
Yeah, but he had a great team around him, Derek.
Right, he got
that
it.
Team was not.
He got it done the one
that
time.
That team was not great. It was a good team.
Yeah, really good defense.
With a third-string quarterback.
Full marks.
And he was able to win the Super Bowl.
But all right, he's had a lot of.
Well, second-string quarterback.
And he's had a lot of so-so teams, right, that have been inconsistent. But that one year, man, you got to give him credit. Full marks.
I'll give you that.
It's a good example.
Offensively, but they had a pretty damn good defense. So I'll give them that. That's how they won.
That team had it all come together, overachieved, and got it done.
But the Titans had it all come together
and missed
last
year. Yes, no question.
So, okay, the question I want to ask you guys is
this.
But
how much responsibility does the coach take for when your quarterback has a bad game?
It falls on him.
When your quarterback has a bad game?
Just like the quarterback. What do we say about the quarterback? Sometimes
you
get
credit,
too much praise,
too much
blame. Exactly.
Okay,
so the court
I'll give you another example.
Coach falls in that category as well.
Marty Schottenheimer. Remember the Ernest Biner fumble?
Yeah.
The fumble? Is that on the coach? Like, these are the philosophical questions. Like, how much control
does the coach
have? Three
interceptions on the coach?
You got to be a little lucky sometimes.
But when people discuss Marty Schottenheimer, do they say, what you call it, fumble the ball? No, they just say he never could get it done.
Right. It goes with a long line. How
exactly.
many times have the Chargers had really good teams with LT and those guys, and they never won anything?
They never could do it.
No.
Here's the thing that we do, and like this is a fan, media, whatever. You can always find blame for somebody.
Yeah.
Prime example, quarterback throws an interception. Is every interception credited to a quarterback? If a quarterback throws an interception,
it's credited.
He's credited with it. Is everyone his fault?
Yeah.
No,
well,
not
that,
everyone.
Well, that's
fault.
A good question with Tannehill's interception.
Did you run? Did you ever run the wrong route?
No, I never ran the wrong route.
I'll take it.
Not that I know of. Anyway.
Did it ever hit you in the hands to bounce off when the defender gets it?
Well, what's the famous one of a guy that we know well? Neil O'Donnell in the Super Bowl. There was a lot of reporting to this day that the guy ran the wrong route on the pick six that sealed the game. But Neil O'Donnell stood there in front of everybody after the Super Bowl and took it all on him. He did not throw the guy under the bus, but there was a lot of speculation that it wasn't. So, again, how much when you trickle it back to the coach and you say, blame the coach, they haven't won in the playoffs, there's so many little things. Like the Music City Miracle. How would Jeff Fisher be viewed were it not for that particular play?
And then forget about the rest of the game.
No, you're right. But I tell you this. If, say, fast forward after next season, if they don't win a game in the playoffs, and just say Amy decides to go in a different direction, this will come up. Everybody will say, well, he couldn't win in the playoffs.
Absolutely. You'll get the label.
Exactly.
Whether it's right or wrong, you get labeled.
So I'm giving it to people now.
Instead of waiting a year or two down the line. I try to be consistent. I always try to let's take the discussion further and look at the layers of it before you just put a label on a guy. Because I think there's been plenty of coaches that get fired because of a label. And the label is probably fair in some ways and unfair in other ways. But that's just the way sports work sometimes, right?
Or it can be fair and unfair at the same time.
I agree.
All right. We'll continue this discussion. Want you to weigh in. Got some texts as well. 615-737-1025 on the Titans. And has Vrabel reached his ceiling? Now Willie has weighed in on it. We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game. Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game, 615-737-1025. Having a spirited discussion right now on the Titans, but I got to give it to some of our listeners on the text line and Twitter. Clay in Cunningham says, can confirm, watch every D-Mace game. He never ran the wrong route. Absolutely flawless player.
You know, honestly, when I became a starter, I never ran the wrong route.
No.
And ever.
I never remember you dropping a pass either.
Yeah, me neither. I can't remember.
I mean, you probably
I got hit a couple of times too, so that's probably why I can't remember the drops.
GPander78 on Twitter, I'm in caption this mode right now. He has a screenshot of us on the stream. Caption this, a GQ model, a PE teacher, and a cute girl's best guy friend walk in a Jack Daniels bar.
I think it was a PE teacher.
Yeah. Really looks like it. I mean, he's got the zip up.
I just watched the other day, again, for about the millionth time, School of Rock.
Yeah. I love School of Rock.
Mr. Schneebly goes in and he's kind of acting like he's a teacher and he's just BSing with the faculty. And he said, those who can't do, teach. Those who can't teach, teach gym. And everybody starts laughing at the gym teacher. I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. I just love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's me. I teach gym.
I can see you being a PE teacher. Yeah. I can totally see it. Like, all right, guys, come on.
I would love to.
Willie's one of those guys.
Those guys
he just
going.
Bring out the racks with the basketballs on, bring out the racks, well, and slide them out there.
He's going to be like, let's play horse. By the way, you're going to miss this.
You guys saw me run the basketball camp back in the day. I love that. I mean, I live for that stuff. That would be my other job. Like, if I didn't do this, that's what I'd be doing somewhere.
I
get the racks out, man. I get them going.
So you're going to miss this on Thursday, and I haven't even told Derek this, but Thursday we're going to be at MTSU at the Murphy Center.
Basketballs will be out.
I know. I've already told them that we're going to need some basketballs.
The basketballs will be out.
So there will be video of my horrendous shooting abilities.
Yes, once again.
So I know my Coach Tackett, my old basketball coach in high school, he'll probably have some comments, I'm sure. Yeah. But that's okay.
Sure, a lot of people will once they watch you shoot the bomb basketball, Chase.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not good. The exact 615-737-1025. So I have said, Willie, that I think you and I are more on the same page here. I want to see Vrabel with a full toolbox. That I don't think he's truly had a full toolbox since he's been here. I think he has gotten a lot done. And I didn't agree in firing John Robinson in the middle of the season because I do think it's created a huge distraction. And I feel like enough of the good moves were made that maybe he should have gotten an opportunity to fix it. But it's well documented. He's missed. He's missed on some things that have come back to bite them. The offensive line being the big part, you know, some trades, all of that. But I want to see, and this is where the clock starts ticking on Vrabel, that if you give him the right tools, what can he do with it? If he can take a team that, let's be honest, that team that went to the AFC Championship game, that defense was not very good.
Yeah.
And they still got there with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. If you can give him a fully healthy defense led by Jeffrey Simmons, if you can give him a fully healthy offense that you build great player or have great players and build around Ryan Tannehill, then what do you do with it? That's what I want to see.
It's so interesting that the 2019 team, I think we would all agree, was not better than 2020 or 2021. But what happened with that team?
From the offensive standpoint, yeah, they were.
I think it was – here's how I look at the 2019 team. It was not a great defense. It wasn't that good a team. They were sort of middling, and they – but at the end – Derrick Henry started taking over games, so they had that.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense got a little bit better. Like, they they figured some things out. They still had Jarrell Casey, you know, they had a young Kevin Byard, and they started playing. Well, they got hot for them. They weren't a great defense, but they played well. And all of a sudden, they won in New England and Baltimore. Like, hey, how about that? You know, and then they sort of turned into a pumpkin in the second half of the Chiefs game, right? They got exploited. The following year, they had a great offense, but a bad defense. Like, they didn't have a good defense at all in 2020. Couldn't rush the passer, all of that stuff. So that wasn't good. Yeah, last year, I thought the offense regressed some. And, of course, Derrick Henry got hurt. But the defense picked up the slack. But I could argue that the 2019 team was the least talented overall of the rosters.
100%.
But did the best in the playoffs. So how do you explain that?
They overachieved.
Well, that's what, that's
and
what
I don't mean that as an insult. That's
it's
a great
new,
thing.
It's a new season. Like the Predators, when they went to the Stanley Cup final, their roster wasn't quite as good as it was the following
year. I think that team overachieved.
I would say the 99 mm-hmm. Titans. Yeah. You guys made the Super Bowl. The 2000 team was
2000
better.
Team was the best
okay,
team.
Okay, so
2000 team was the best team this organization's ever had.
So y'all are I don't disagree. Yeah. No. So y'all sort of making my point here. That you know, you're looking at these rosters and you're looking at what this team was able to achieve. That roster that 19 roster that went to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Those were a bunch of guys that were neither put together by Mike Vrabel nor John Robinson.
Yeah, they were.
A lot of no. That was a veteran-led team. John had only been here what? Well, John, no, it was Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was not a part of a lot of those guys being here because John got here in 16. Vrabel got here in 17. They won in 19. So a lot of those guys.
18 was Vrabel's first year.
18.
Yeah. So that's it was his second year.
It was his second year. So yeah. That makes me think those were not the guys. Those guys were picked by John, right? Some of those guys were. And then some of those guys were just leftovers from.
I think he deserves to be the architect of those teams.
But some of those guys were left over from the last regime, right?
Not really.
A few of them. Not all of them.
Not really.
So all of those guys were John guys.
Marcus wasn't, but Marcus was benched at that point.
Uh-huh.
No, Derek was John. Deion Lewis was a John signing.
Yes.
Tannehill was a John trade.
Mm-hmm.
Jonnu Smith was a John draftee. A.J. Brown. Humphreys was a signing. Khalif Raymond. Kern was a leftover.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Davis.
Oh, was that John? John? That was John's
John.
First year.
That was, John.
Yep.
Was that his first year or second year?
Second year. Because
that was the year that they made the huge trade of the first pick.
Yeah, because so Conklin was his first year.
Yeah, Conklin.
I think that was his first draft, right? 2016.
The Conklin draft?
Conklin. Yeah.
But that included Corey Davis, right?
No, Corey Davis.
It was the following year. Okay.
Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson were the next year.
Yeah.
That was still a pick that they got from the Rams.
All John.
You're making my point.
It's all John.
You're making my point is we look at it now. These are going to be more than likely picks that Vrabel has a hand in. I think he had a hand in picks last year and the year before that. We've seen what John did with his picks and where that got them, AFC Championship game. Now we need to see, minus John, what does this team do? Whether it's John or Vrabel, Vrabel has not gotten this team any further than where they were in 2019 when they went to the AFC Championship game. We can say that he's a really good coach. I'm not going to put him in a great coach category. I'm not. Until he won the Super Bowl, he's not a great coach. But we're going to see now, because he's really good during the regular season. But since he's been here, they faltered in the playoffs. For whatever reason, they have not gotten, other than the AFC Championship game, they have not gotten past the second round. Hell, they hadn't got past one game. Now, everybody want to throw that on John and say, John this, John that. But who was the head coach?
Look, they both share responsibility.
Exactly.
I don't think we've shied away from that.
Exactly. I'm not talking about us.
No, I know. But
but my thing is, when will it come to a point where the fans say, you know what? Yeah, Mike's really good during the regular season, but his playoff record is not good. It's not. Even when they had the number one seed, they managed to squander it. We can blame it on the quarterback. We can blame it on, you know, the defense not getting stopped when they were supposed to. We can blame it on a bunch of stuff. But what it boils down to is the head coach was not able to get this team past the second round since the AFC Championship game.
All right, we'll continue that. By the way, a texter says, my name is Ben. Willie was my sixth grade basketball coach at Oak Hill.
I did coach the Old Hill Lockers.
Willie.
Yeah. I remember Ben. We had a good squad. Hey, you know who else was playing back then? Engel Martin.
Yeah.
He was an Oak Hill Locker.
Okay.
If this is the same Ben, I think I might have coached a couple different Oak Hill teams.
You really are.
Can't
coach
remember
Willie.
Which game. Oh, heck yeah, I'm Coach Willie. Are you kidding me? Legit.
Let's huddle up.
I coached my younger brother's team when I was in 10th grade.
We need to get you a whistle for the show.
We got to get you a whistle, man.
Chase, man, you missed it. You should see me in the basketball camps, man. I would get those guys going.
I've been at your basketball camp.
You saw me in action?
Willie, I think you forget something. I've been here over 10 years.
I know.
So I've seen you.
Are you tough in practice, man? Are you tough?
Oh, he's tough. He's got that look on his face. He's like, come on. Yeah. Hey, focus. Focus, guys. Focus.
I'm positive, but I'm tough.
Okay. Yeah. That's what you need to be.
Yes, absolutely. We'll continue that coming up next. Can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. There's no fancy computer algorithms. There's no guys across the pond setting the lines for the American sports. Nope. It's just the best team of odds makers in the biz. And they're right there behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas there on the Strip. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and you can start your battle against Vegas right now. If you're looking ahead to this weekend, the Tennessee Titans are on the road in Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. They are +3 on the road, +130 on the money line. Check that out on the Superbook Sports app. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick with you. Janet Jackson, little black cat, bringing us back.
Hey, Janet's coming to concert, Willie.
Janet's coming here. And before we get out of here, I have to ask you the hypothetical I asked Derek earlier because of some of these concert announcements that Bridgestone has had. Janet Jackson, New Edition coming in April. Like the actual New Edition.
Man, we're going throwback.
Bobby
here.
Brown, everybody. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Wow. I'm thrown back to the late 80s.
I love
early
it.
90s.
Ooh, I am all about it. Taking your calls at 615-737-1025. Trevor is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and wants to comment on, I guess, an interview last night on Bally Sports and then a subsequent response on Twitter by Lindsey Rowley, our friend, our colleague. And we'll read that in a second, but I know Trevor wants to make a comment on it, so Trevor, go ahead.
Hey guys, yeah, I don't want to beat up on Lindsey too much here, but I read this yesterday, hearing about the Cole Smith comment the Cole Smith interview on the bench, and the disregard that comment had for Predators fans. This organization's been here for over 20 years and has tried to build up a hockey community here in Middle Tennessee where people know the game. People have learned the game. There are implants. People here that played high levels of hockey that have moved here that are fans of the Predators. And to say that, you know, invalidate everybody's opinion about this franchise, everything aside, Poirier should be gone, the coach should be gone, that aside, to sit there and insinuate and insult the fan base that has learned the game of hockey and grown up with this team over the past 20-plus years, it just came off in such a bad way. And watching the Bally Sports broadcast, I'm a Boston guy. I watch every single Bruins game. Those guys will be critical of their team. They'll be professionally critical of the team if it calls for it. Obviously, the Bruins are doing great this year. They don't need to. But the Predators broadcast, it's all fluff. Everything's so great. Everything's so dandy. You know, the team stinks. The general manager has been here, 8 years longer than he would be in it, 5 years longer than any other franchise in the NHL, and they continue to hold on to him. And it's just, it's ridiculous to watch this, not being a Predators fan, but as someone who pays attention to the team and knows people here in the Nashville area that know hockey really well and are dedicated to this team, to essentially say, oh, your opinion's invalid. You don't know as much as these guys. They're, you know, we're NHL coach. Of course not. But to just sit there and say, you know, shut up, is that's how I took it. Just sit down and shut up. Sorry, okay. Guys. Thanks for hearing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call, Trevor. Appreciate it. And look, here was her response. It was basically that Preds on Bally tweeted it out, her interview.
Well, that is what happened, is there was an interview on the bench with Dan Hino, which there is every game.
Yep.
And Dan Hino, the question was about Cole Smith, who had just made a series of really good plays. And Dan Hino is a guy that loves the grinders, right? He loves the guys who have great extra effort, do everything the coaches say. And he was asked about Cole Smith. He gave a great answer on Cole Smith. Now, what's going on Twitter right now? The team is struggling.
Yep.
Cole Smith is a lightning rod. Why? The team struggles to score. Cole Smith has no goals. Cole Smith was not brought in to rescue the power play. He was not. He doesn't play on the first line or the second line. He plays on the third or the fourth line. And in his role, he has been one of the most effective players that they've had. In his role. That's what Dan Hino was talking about. But what's happening on Twitter? The team is struggling. The team is struggling to score. So there's a lot of passion. There's a lot of criticism, that's what happens on Twitter, right? That is what happens. That's what Twitter is about right now between the Titans and the Predators.
It's
gone crazy.
It's like I said earlier.
And that's okay, right? Like I said, this is what happens in a strong sports market where you have passionate fans. And look, I love Lindsay like family, right? And I will tell you, I don't want to speak for her, but I know she regretted doing what she did. And people make mistakes, right? It's like people, the famous line by Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
Don't press send.
Exactly.
Right? We've all done it, right? We've all sent a tweet and like, wait a minute.
Don't email angry. Don't press send.
Wait 24 hours. Mm-hmm. These are all things that are human nature, and sometimes you can't take it back when you put it out there. But that was not her intent to do that. But she got a reaction. Trevor had the same reaction as a lot of fans did. And so Lindsay was very aware of it. She felt bad about it. Last thing she wants to do is to alienate the fan base. But he made a comment about our broadcast, and I will tell you that I think it's unfair. We get labeled with that about it's fluff. I completely disagree on that, and it baffles me sometimes that people think that. It frustrates me, and I encourage people to constructively reach out to me on this show, on any number of things, tweet at me if it's constructive, because I want that feedback. I don't want our broadcast to be fluff. When I think if you listen to me, Chris Mason, when the power play was struggling last night, I think we told you the power play was struggling. We put the numbers out there. All right, we said it. They're 29th. You know, whatever it is, like we say it different ways. It's not like we're ignoring that's going on. Are we going to, in general, be positive? Yeah, heck yeah, we're going to be positive. But we're not being dishonest with you. I don't believe.
But people want
with how we do that.
If you
think we're going to go out there and just trash everybody that's on the ice, that's never going to happen. And his thing about the Bruins, that is a load of bull. Their broadcast is no different than our broadcast. In fact, I have seen polls put out there, and I look at them. Okay, they were number one. I shouldn't say number one. They were dead last in the fan poll because they were homers. That is exactly.
Jared's agreeing with
you.
He's lived in that market, so you know he knows.
But people expect you to, people expect you to get up there and just trash the team that you are, covering, and that's not gonna. You're going to point out things that are wrong with the team, but it's It's not beneficial to you, and it's not beneficial to the team if you sit there as the voice of the team and trash the team. People don't I think people understand it, and they think that if they were in that seat, they would do something different, but they wouldn't. Nobody. I've never seen an announcer that covers the team from game one to game whatever. He's their guy or she's their girl. Sit there and trash a team. If you are the voice for that team, you're not going to you're going to point out some things that are wrong, but you're not going to trash them.
Right. There are two that could be honest. Not trash, but be honest. They could get away with it because they earn their stripes. Vin Scully and Marty Brenneman. But you got it.
But they also are tactful in how they do it.
I would say those are two very different.
Yeah, Marty.
Very different ways. Marty was to the point where it would alienate him from the players. The players were very critical. They didn't like him because he was so critical of them.
Vin did it in a tactful way.
But look, everybody's different. I want you to know that the fan base, it means everything to me that you guys enjoy our broadcast.
Sure.
And so I take offense if people think we're just not doing our job. And I want you to reach out to us constructively. Reach out to us. Give us examples.
And Rob had a or
give us examples of what we're saying and where we think we're not being honest.
But they're not gonna be able to do that. They're just going to sort of talk around it.
Right. I don't think I'm perfect at all. But what I strive for is to be positive, energetic, enthusiastic for the team that we're covering, but also be honest. Mm-hmm. And tell you when they're struggling. I went on the pregame show yesterday, and I pointed out, what is the team struggling? Why are they not scoring? What did I say? They're getting a lot of shot attempts. They're getting a low percentage. They're 31st in the league at getting the shots on net. And what happened in the game? They didn't score. Why? They got a lot of offensive zone time. They got a lot of power play time. They weren't getting enough shots to the net. That's honest. But if you want me to do it in a way that says, these guys stink, they're awful, get them out of the league, trade them, that's never going to happen. And no broadcast will do that. Nobody's broadcast do that, including the Bruins, Trevor. So if I really do not think the Bruins are any different than any broadcast.
Yeah, all I'm going to say on this is I wish in one day I might write a book I don't mean this critical. I mean this in a good way. Just where I could explain everything. And explain like everything that goes into a broadcast or a daily show or partnerships or things like that. It's like with, you know, anyone listening, your job. I don't know every aspect of your job. I wish I could. I wish I did, but I don't. There's some things that you just don't. You don't know. And I think you guys on Bally, you guys and girls on Bally do a great job. But there is it's a team broadcast. It's the home broadcast. So there is a different, you use the word positive. There's a different element to it than it would be an ESPN broadcast where you can say what you can say what you want.
You're
not
holding
to that
team.
Be as critical on either team as you want. You have to be unbiased. You're not one way or the other on that. And so and look, I haven't had a chance to talk to Lindsay. But I would say, and I think she knows me well enough to know this, I probably wouldn't have responded. I would just let it go.
Look,
and
Lindsay,
I think she knows that.
Lindsay would come on if we asked her to come on the show, and she would talk about that. She could stick up for herself. I don't want to speak for her at all, but I do know that she knows, and all of us know that engaging with the fans is in general as frustrated as you might be because.
But it's
you
the
take
good part
it,
about sports. You get to engage with the fans, no matter how. You know, they may trash a team, but you get to engage with them. And like you said, it should be constructive, you know, sort of a conversation or constructive criticism, but times people kind of go overboard with it and try to demean people just because they don't agree with what they say or how they're doing their job.
And this is the only thing I would say about the fans who criticize decisions that are made by the coaches, et cetera. There's 100% every fan who's passionate deserves their opinion. They are entitled to their opinion. But I would just only say, let's not assume that there's a lot of times there's an assumption that the coaches or the
you don't know the whole story.
Don't know anything, right? They know, right? They disagree with you. Mm-hmm. But from coming, if they have no idea what they're doing. Like that.
Yeah.
That's not really, usually not the case, right?
Coming up next.
They kind of know what they're doing.
A pair of tickets to see Bush at the Ryman Auditorium Monday, February 20th. You must answer the trivia question. I have the trivia question today. And if you paid attention, you've been given some hints.
Oh, okay. Yes, I know exactly where you're going.
Yes, we'll do that coming up next. Chase Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. Stillman and Company coming up in about 10 minutes. Still talk about the Titans, get into that continued reaction. Titans +3 on the road against the Chargers this week, according to Superbook Sports. But right now, your chance to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Bush at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, February 20th.
Bush.
Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., but you must answer this question. And if you've been listening today, I've given you some hints. So last night, Preds and Blues go to overtime, 0-0, no score. It's not the first time that that has happened in the history between these two teams. November 25th, 2008, right here in this building of a previous name, but Bridgestone Arena, Preds and Blues tied at 0. It actually went to a shootout in which the Blues won. Brad Boys had a successful attempt. As did David Perron. So they get the win. We talked about Rich Peverly. He was in that game playing for the Predators, as was Scott Nichol.
Blues, we looked at the box score last night.
Yeah. The Blues win the game 1-0. I told you earlier Chris Mason was the goaltender for the Blues that night. Who was the goaltender for the Predators? 615-737-1025. Tell Nick Kieser off the air, the first person to get it right will win tickets to see Bush. 615-737-1025. All right, now this is the fun. We'll end on a fun note. This is the question that the hypothetical I asked Derek earlier, Willie, because we saw during the show that New Edition was coming to Bridgestone Arena in April 16th. Janet Jackson announced yesterday she's coming to Bridgestone Arena. A lot of great concerts that are coming here. So I ask you the hypothetical. Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive, that's another band. Are they coming?
No.
You spin me around like a record?
Dead or Alive, an 80s band. A artist, a group, a band that you never have seen that you would want to see.
Ooh.
But it can be dead or alive. We both said Michael
Dead Jackson. Or Alive.
Yeah.
So my answer could be dead or alive.
It could be.
But dead. That would not be my answer.
The text line blew up, too. A lot of people said Elvis Presley, Queen, the Beatles. Elvis is a good one. Adam in Clarksville said Metallica with Cliff Burton.
I think I could make a list of 20, but I think my answer today, if you ask me next week, I might have a different answer. I'll say the Beatles today. What popped into my mind was the documentary that came out last year called Get Back.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And you watch them create, and it was on film, hours and hours of footage that they whittled down to like three parts. It's a three-part miniseries. Man, and that was part of the theme. They stopped performing live maybe about halfway through their run. The last 3 or 4 years they were together, they didn't tour.
Yeah,
it was so nuts. Made records. Like everything just blew. They couldn't control the crowd and everything. They just got tired of the lifestyle. So I would love to have seen the Beatles. Man, maybe get that kid.
That's crazy when you're so big, you can't even tour no more.
It was nuts. It was nuts. So that popped into my head. But that's just one I could make a list. Michael Jackson, that would have been awesome too.
I mean, yeah, MJ, Prince is one.
I did see Prince here.
I never got to see Prince.
I saw Prince here.
When was it? When was the last time he played here?
That was 2006, 2005.
Somewhere in there. Musicology was the
He did it all by himself.
CD.
Yeah.
And I think my mom
he came out of the floor.
Yeah.
He popped out of the floor. That was a great show.
Prince would have been one that
I
wish I'd seen. I've seen Paul McCartney, so I've at least
seen we're a little bit older than you, Chase. You probably wasn't allowed, out late to watch Prince back then.
2005? Yeah, no, I was in high school. I was a junior or a senior, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I had a curfew.
Did you have to make the phone call? Guys, I'm going to be a little late tonight.
Yeah.
I made that a few times. Like, didn't go well. Try to get a little extension on the curfew.
But see,
is it okay if I'm back at 11:20 or 12:20?
Is it okay that you are back at 12 o'clock like we said?
Well, here was the funny thing. So I had I got the cell phone. Now, you know, kids have cell phone at 2 years old now.
Yeah.
But I got my cell phone freshman year in high school. And when I started driving, you know, there were times where we had, like, late games or whatever, so I'd be late. And, you know, mom was cool and dad was cool and all that. But there was one time that I'm coming home. We had played in BFE, Tennessee, somewhere. And it's, like, midnight. After midnight, I'm driving home. And I get pulled over.
Ooh.
And I'm 16, 17. And so there's a curfew. And so the officer is just like, hey, why are you out late? And I had a note from Coach. And he thought I wrote it.
I would have thought you wrote it too.
So I had to make the call to mom. And,
oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's going to do it for us today. We do have a winner. It was Dan Ellis was the goalie for the Predators. Dan Ellis versus Chris Mason that night. Stick around. Stillman & Company coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We out.